You might not like this message. I mean, seriously, particularly if you have recently been hurt by someone else. Someone else has sinned against you. Because this is a message about forgiving one another. And it's not so much about being forgiven. We all love to be forgiven, don't we? But it is a message about forgiving one another. That's what this passage in Matthew 18 is really about. And C.S. Lewis says, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive one another." Philip Yancey, who has just written a new book called The Scandal of Forgiveness, he says, "Forgiveness may be the most demanding act in human relationships. It may be one of the hardest things that we do." It is true. It is difficult to forgive one another. And I think this is what was going through Peter's mind when he says to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, he says, "Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times?" Peter even offers the answer. And Peter thinks he's being generous, because of course, in Judaism at that time, three times is usually sufficient for such a thing, and four times is generous, but seven times is really generous, so thinks Peter. And then, of course, Jesus responds, "No, not seven times, but 77 times, or seven times 70 times. The Greek is not clear, but the point is not the exact number, because Jesus has chosen a number that is really a symbolic number of completeness. Seven is a biblical number for completeness, and seven times seven is like complete. It's without limits, basically. He's taking the number counting out of the equation. And so basically Jesus is saying, forgive one another without limit. No limitations. Forgive one another without limits. Yeah, but that's a hard thing to do. And so that's where, how do we do that? And that's where Jesus pulls in this passage, this parable of the unforgiving servant. Now, I won't go through the details. You know this parable, but you know that the main point is there is a servant who owes his master a huge debt. And if you calculated that debt in today's money, it would be about $6 billion U.S. dollars. So that's huge. Again, Jesus has chosen a number that is beyond measure. So he's taking number counting out of the equation. Basically, it is just a huge debt, unpayable. And yet the master forgives the servant. And then that same servant turns around and does not forgive his fellow servant a debt that the fellow servant had to him. And it's not an insignificant debt. Actually, in today's money, that debt would be about 12,000 U.S. dollars. So it's not insignificant. So the point is not you should have forgiven because it was so small. No, it was a significant debt. But obviously the point is it becomes insignificant in comparison to the magnitude of that other debt. And so likewise, this is Jesus's point. Forgive without limits one another because you have been forgiven without limits. And so in a wonderful way, Jesus is trying to stir up in Peter and the disciples and in us deep thankfulness, genuine humility, a deep recognition of how much we have been forgiven, so much so that it almost becomes natural that we forgive our brother and our sister. And then he ends. Actually, the reason for this message is a couple of weeks ago, I was reading this passage and was struck in my quiet time by verse 35, which is, I was struck by how stern this warning was that Jesus gives at the end of it. I mean, it's really, he says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So, and he says, forgive from your heart. So it's not just saying the words of forgiveness. This is genuine forgiveness. If you don't genuinely forgive your brother, this is what will happen to you. And of course, what is he talking about? Well, he's referring back to the parable. And the master, when he finds out that the unforgiving servant did not forgive, he puts him in jail and puts him with a jailer who's a torturer jailer. It says, until the $6 billion is paid. So, yeah. Huge consequences. Now, obviously, that doesn't relate just one-on-one to us. But I think the basic point that does relate to us is that Jesus is saying, you know, unforgiveness is actually your problem, not so much the other person's problem. It's your problem because something hasn't happened deeply in you. The master says to the servant, I forgave you all that debt. So you should have forgiven your fellow servant. In other words, it's our problem because somehow maybe we haven't had the depth of humility and thankfulness of how much grace has been shown to us. It hasn't impacted us enough so that we then show that same grace to one another. So maybe it really is that we who need a touch of the Holy Spirit in order to forgive. And then it's also our problem in the sense that the consequences are to us. You know, Jesus said, so you, this will happen to you if you do not forgive, not talking about the other person, to you, there will be negative consequences. Now, we don't know exactly what that won't be. It won't be tortured in jail. But I think somehow basically it means if you don't forgive, it doesn't just hurt the other person. It does hurt the other person, but it doesn't just hurt the other person. It hurts you. So this is a challenge. This is a challenge to all of us, isn't it? We may not like it, but actually it is a good challenge because he's saying to us, forgive without limits because you have been forgiven without limits. And the challenge is not to be perfect people or perfect teams in our fellowship. The challenge is just to be teams who forgive each other, quickly forgive, quickly, genuinely forgive one another because we have been genuinely and completely forgiven.